Good morning, Hillside. Happy Friday morning. It's 9 a.m., which means it's time for another devotion, looking into God's Word. Lately, we've been looking at various kinds of psalms because, as has been said many times before, the psalms are, well, they're sort of expansive in that they cover basically every human emotion we have, every sort of response to God that we typically have. The good, bad, and the ugly is on display in the Psalms, and that certainly is the case with the psalm we're going to look at today. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 32, and the kind of psalm that this is what is known as a penitential psalm. It's basically a psalm acknowledging sin and crying out for forgiveness. Now, the most famous example of this kind of psalm is most definitely Psalm 51, where David is confessing his sin before God with Bathsheba. And it's this very vivid portrayal of his soul just sort of wrenched and him feeling gutted before God and terrified of the consequences of his sin. And of course, the need for forgiveness is front and center in that whole psalm. And that is similar to Psalm 32. I love Psalm 32 because I think it gives a wonderful description. It's such an accurate description of what life is like living, trying to hold back from confessing one's sin. So I'm going to read verses 3 through 5, and then let's talk about it a little bit. David writes, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." End of reading. Well, a while back, and this really was a while back, I was watching my two oldest boys when my youngest one at the time, Jonathan, told me, "Daddy, I have a secret, but Mommy told me not to tell anyone." So I said, "Well, okay, don't tell me then." But then he said, "Well, don't you want to know?" And I said, "No, I don't want you to disobey Mommy by telling me. Just keep it to yourself." And this bugged my child greatly. So a little while later, not being able to contain himself, he simply blurted out the secret. Couldn't help it. But then he said, "Now, Daddy, I can't tell Jude, though. I can't tell my brother." I said, "Okay, don't tell your brother." Well, 2 hours later, I'm pushing my sons on the swings, and John looks over to Jude and says, "Hey, brother, do you want to know a secret?" All that to say, keeping secrets can be very difficult, can be very hard, and keeping secrets about ourselves, as the psalm shows, is in fact deadly. I mean, truly, a little while back, a study from Tufts University was released, and it found in 4 different tests that keeping a secret proved to have real and perceived physical effects. That's a quote directly from the study. In the first test, Dr. Michael Slapian and his colleagues found 40 people were told to recall a secret. They were then each asked to estimate the steepness of a hill. Those harboring a meaningful personal secret believed the hill was steeper than those who merely recalled small secrets. In another test, the researchers found 40 people who admitted to recent infidelity, and the participants first rated their guilt over the matter. Then they were asked to rate the energy and effort required to perform common tasks, such as carrying groceries upstairs or helping someone move or walking the dog. And the people who were more bothered by their secret rated the tasks as using more energy. The doctor says this: the more burdensome the secrets were, the more participants perceived everyday behaviors as if they were carrying a physical burden, the authors wrote in the study. And the study's conclusion: the more burdensome the secret and the more thought devoted to it, the more perception and action were influenced in a manner similar to carrying physical weight. Well, long before such studies happened, the psalmist already knew that holding on to one's sins and secrets feels like carrying an unbearable weight. And so what is his solution? Well, his solution is confession. But of course, that's easier said than done, because how afraid are we of the consequences of coming clean? We fear what others will think if they know what we really struggle with on a regular basis. The enemy of our souls causes us to wonder if God will still be faithful if we really come clean to him, even though we know, at least intellectually, that it's not as if God doesn't know. And so, like our first parents, we find any number of modern-day fig leaves to hide our shame and seek to carry our own sins to our own little Calvaries. We seek to atone in various ways to try and make up for it, or try and rationalize it away, or try and explain it away. But of course, it won't work. We're not meant to bear the burden of our sins. We're not meant to atone for our sins, because simply put, before the eyes of God, we can not. And before long, the weight, of course, crushes us. This is why oftentimes police officers will tell you that the person who confesses to their crime sleeps best that same night, no matter where they are. There was a movie that came out a while back called The Machinist about a man with crippling insomnia. And the longer the film went on, the less sleep he got. And the less sleep he got, the more unhealthy he became, until he had become basically a shell of the man he was. The movie stars Christian Bale, and it's really a phenomenal job of acting, although the movie is not what one would call an upper. It's not the kind of thing that you walk out of with great joy and delight, necessarily. Nevertheless, throughout the film, people around him wonder what had happened to him to make him so sick, to plague him so much that he couldn't sleep. And finally, at the end of the film, a suppressed memory comes up in his mind, in which he remembers driving fast in his car, and without meaning to, he hit a child. At the moment, he was in such shock that he just drove off and then did everything he could to just push it away, to just suppress this sin, so to speak. By the time he remembered the event again, that the memory came up, he was so done trying to hide his lie that he walks into the police station, confesses his crime, and the film ends with him laying down on a prison bed and sleeping soundly for the first time. And it's just the way it is. The only way we can find rest for our souls is when we fess up about ourselves. Therefore, James implores us to confess our sins to one another. And John famously promises in his first chapter that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then with David, we remember again that our God is not a God who seeks us to condemn us, but to save us, as John 3:17 makes clear. We remember again, as we come to God in confession, that our God only helps those who cannot help themselves. We remember that Christ has already carried the burden and weight of our shame to the cross and has declared that we are forgiven once and for all for all of our sins. And that means we never have to carry them around again. So, the application for you, dear Hillside congregant, this Friday morning as you go into the weekend, is whatever burden you're carrying, whatever sin you're hiding, come clean. Come to the throne of God that is now referred to by the author of Hebrews as a throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace, not judgment, not wrath, not anger, the throne of grace, that he might give you mercy, because indeed it's his will, it's his desire to give all mercy, that all might come to repentance, as the Apostle Peter tells us. So come clean, confess it, be free of that weight you're carrying. Jesus has already carried the cross for you. Let him do the heavy lifting. All right, that's it for today's devotion. I hope that you're encouraged by it, and I hope you can join us this Sunday at 10 a.m. Remember, just one service. I'll be preaching about agape love this Sunday, so look forward to seeing you then. God's richest blessings to you, folks.